Today's scripture is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I have chosen this as the passage of God's word for our instruction on this very important day, the one day in the year that we must never forget, but always to remember, not just once a year, but I would suggest, dear friends, to remember every day, because it is the source of our blessing and blessing to the whole world. For the Reformation is the one event of God that has brought immense blessing to the whole civilized world. Except today, it is all but forgotten. So, dear friends, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Pause and think, and I suggest to you that you realize that perilous times have come. They are here with us, every day, around us, in front of us, behind us, everywhere. Now, I want to ask you a question. Supposing after the service you go home and your neighbor says, "Hey, I heard you went to a service of Reformation. What is the Reformation?" All right, that is my question to you. What is the Reformation? Do you know? What can you say? Can you all see? What is the Reformation? Can you tell me? You know, it is an event of God that is today all but forgotten. And of course, to the man in the street, you don't expect him to know anything. He will know nothing. But to the people in the church, they have a very wrong idea today. For they are being either withheld from information, they never hear about it, and what little they hear is wrong information, what we call disinformation. So, it is commonly said today, "Oh, the Reformation was just a family squabble. Some disagreement between brethren, best forgotten today." And so you say, "Oh, that sounds right, isn't it? Why think back and dwell upon an unpleasant event that happened 489 years or 500 years ago?" True? Very much so, if what is said is correct. My dear friends, have you got your answer? What is the Reformation? What is your version? Now listen. Here it is. When you go home and your friend asks you, "What is the Reformation?" you say, "Let me tell you, the greatest event that ever happened on planet Earth since Pentecost." Now, I ask you, what is Pentecost? Do you know? God intervenes in human history. Please understand. God is not asleep, or as the modernists say, God is dead. But God is in absolute, complete control of every event upon planet Earth. So, Pentecost, when God sent down His own Spirit, even the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, then the church began to take shape, was born and then spread. That is Pentecost, an event of 2,000 years ago. Since that event, the next great event when God intervened in human history was Reformation. And this is a definition I've come to out of the study of God's Word over the past several weeks, thinking, praying, pondering, what shall I say on the 29th of October to so many people coming to hear what is the Reformation? What shall I say? Here it is, dear friends. Don't ever forget this. When people ask you, you can tell them, it is the intervention of God through a man called Martin Luther. Not just he was moved, but there was a faithful band of men and women who were willing to stand up and to declare the truth of God against every opposition and against every enemy at the risk of their lives. And truly, many of them gave their lives in the cause of the return to biblical Christianity. What God had begun 2,000 years ago that gave rise to the New Testament church that flourished. One day 3,000, the next report 5,000, and it grew and grew and grew. But please remember, we have an enemy. You have an enemy. The enemy of man's soul never tires in his evil activity. He's never tired. And so he gets active to subvert the work of Pentecost so that the church was sold into darkness and dominance by ungodly men, unsafe men in the church, so that the whole church fell into darkness for 1,000 years. Sad, but true. But that is history. I say, dear friends, we must learn from history. History provides many valuable, precious, indispensable lessons. You ignore the lessons of history, you are going to pay the price for it. Understand, please? Those who ignore the lessons of history are doomed to repeat and to suffer under its mistakes. So again, I say, what was the Reformation? Now you can say, Reformation was a return to biblical Christianity. Now we go on to the next item. Verses 1 to 4, we shall read now. This know that in the last days perilous times have come. You say, show me the perilous times in Singapore. Do you see perilous times in Singapore? Oh, my friends, when everything is so good, people are eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling, it is exactly what the gospel says will be the kind of society before the Lord returns. And these are perilous times, even as before the time of Noah. Turn your clock back 4,500 years. And it says, God looked down on what? Planet Earth. And he saw that all the thoughts and imaginations of men was only evil continually. They could think of nothing good. You say, does that apply to Singapore? I say, in many senses, identical, the same. Everybody here is so mad about money, about buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage, marrying not just men, women, now it is men and men, women and women, and all kinds of evil have come in. And now we are told integrated resorts are so good. We all need to have resorts, don't we? One is not enough, two. Now they say, oh, there's room for more. These are perilous times, dear friends, when men and women are concerned all the time about how to enjoy life and live this physical life. This is peril. I say, dear friends, may God deliver you out of that peril. Don't say, well, I got to make a living, isn't it? I say, of course. But when all your focus, all your energy, all your thinking and planning and projecting is only on how to live better on this earth, these are the signs of perilous times, exactly as to be described in the next few verses. Listen, read on, read with me. Yes, follow, please. What does it say here? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. How to enjoy themselves all the time. Covetous, making more and more money, not only legitimately, but illegitimately. People who become very smart in their computer business begin to use their smartness to do swindling business with credit cards. It's in the papers, in the Straits Times, every day you can see. Every day how the smart people are getting smart with evil things. These are the perilous times. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers are those who make fun of godly people and make fun of God. They think they are so smart. Where is God? Disobedient to parents, so it is. Read again and again, young people killing their parents or kicking their parents out of the house, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Ask yourself, is there natural affection in your heart to think of kindness and mercy one to another? That is natural. It is gone today. Husband don't love wife. Children don't love parents. Old people are neglected, abandoned. Who cares? So, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors. Who are they? Disloyal people, unfaithful, promise and don't keep their promise. Disloyal to the country, disloyal to family, disloyal to their own vows. These are things that you see and hear all the time. And these are signs of perilous times. Heady, very headstrong, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, my friends, the description here is so, I would say, so stunning, shocking. Do you know? And all these point to one event that must happen very soon. Now, don't please misunderstand me and say, next year, it didn't happen. You say, you said last year it's going to happen. What? The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. But never mind, if the Lord doesn't come, he can also call. So either he calls or he comes, you must be ready. We live in the age of great deception and seduction. What is seduction? Seduction is gentle persuasion. They don't force you, but seduce you, entice you. Make something so attractive, you like to do it, and you do the wrong thing. Seduction. So you become disloyal even to your faith because there is seduction. People who once preached the gospel turn around 180 degrees and preach against the gospel, another gospel. I'm going to show you that. That is seduction. We live in such an age, and all these things point to just one thing. The Lord of history is on the way. On the way, meaning from now till he comes, maybe a year, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know. But the thing is, you better be prepared because his coming is sure. Now, you know that human nature is forgetful. And no matter how much blessing God gives, there is that tendency to forget. That's why we remember Reformation Sunday today. Now, you recall how God called one man, Moses, right? That is a long, long time ago. What did God call Moses for? For a testimony and for a leader of his people. My people have been incarcerated, imprisoned in Egypt 430 years. The time has come. My timetable is ready. My people will leave Egypt. When God says so, it is so. God called Moses. You know, when the people were out of Egypt, having experienced the Passover night, right? Remember? Having crossed the Red Sea, when God opened the sea and the water stood as two walls and they walked through on dry land. When they got to the other side, within a matter of days, what did they say? Oh, Moses, you brought us here to suffer thirst and hunger. And all these difficulties, we better go back to Egypt. This is a problem, and the same problem happens today. God raised not Moses this time, but Martin Luther. Now, as I said just now, he is only one of many men, but nevertheless, his name and what he did, we remember for the great courage he had as one man to stand against the might and power of the church. Remember, in those days, the church ruled the country, ruled the government, was all powerful. Yes. And one man stood up and said, no, this whole system is wrong. The church is not teaching us the right things. And so he declared one day, exactly 489 years ago, in the year 1517. And what he had meditated and studied from God's word that were wrong in the church, he wrote out 95 questions. And he went to the castle door. This picture is there for you to see, yeah, please. Yes, this is done with loving kindness for you. Here you see this man, Martin Luther. And he put it on the castle door and nailed it there for all to see. I say this was a declaration of war, a holy war against the church. Why is it? The church is so corrupt, evil, only preying on people's money and sufferings, making money out of suffering. When you come to the priest and you say, I've committed a terrible sin, what will he tell you? What will we tell you today, dear friends? Can you understand? We say, come, let's together seek the Lord's forgiveness. For he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our advocate. We sit down, we kneel down, and what do? We pray. We confess. And what does God do? Forgive. How much money do you pay? Nothing. God's forgiveness is by grace, through faith, mercy. You don't deserve it. It's given freely. But in those days, they say, to the priest, I've sinned. Oh, you need an indulgence. You know, nowadays, you want to buy a motor car, you have COE, right? You can't just go to the shop and say, I want a motor car. You got to buy COE first. In those days, you have sinned. The priest says, oh, you got to buy COF. Certificate of forgiveness. Money, you know. Pay. So you pay. Big sin, big pay. Small sin, so small pay. Nevertheless, it costs money. And you got to confess to the priest in the confessional. And you got to do so many other things to work off your sin. Martin Luther wrote 95 questions. Can it be that our sins are forgiven by these things and other things? So out of that came the Reformation, when men and women were given the Word of God for the first time. For the first time, they could read the Bible because a man called Tyndale, William Tyndale, gave his life to translate the Bible that people could read. And once they read the Bible, my, what an eye-opener. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace, not COF. Pay money to get sins forgiven. So there went that great Reformation returned to biblical Christianity. Men and women stood up and said, we want Jesus Christ, not the church, not the priest. Only our one high priest, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who died for us on the cross. He alone can forgive my sins, your sins. Today, the whole thing is going into reverse gear. Today, like as I said, Moses led the people across the Red Sea. And once they were in the wilderness, they rebelled against him and said, take us back. Today we see the same situation, and that is perilous times, dear friends, when those in the church says, let's go back to pre-Reformation days. Let's go back. Is it happening? This is a newspaper cutting. I got it from Australia. And the date is 2001, June the 17th. And the headline says, the churches are on the path to unification. Indeed, many churches in Australia, in England, in Canada, in America, have combined, joined hands to form one church. And what is the end point? What are they combining with? This is from the Western Australia, 6 September 2000. And it says here, the Catholic Church is the mother of all churches. Who says this? The cardinal, and not just the cardinal, but the evangelicals are also singing the same tune. This is as in the days of Moses. Israelites says, take us back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. Who are the people? Who are the evangelicals? We are evangelicals in the Bible sense. Meaning to say, we believe the gospel. Evangelical is those who believe and accept the evangel, the message of salvation, evangel. Evangelicals are those who preach the message of salvation. And we are evangelicals in the strict sense of the word, except that we don't call ourselves that today. Now, the most famous evangelical says this. When he began preaching, at that time, he was one of my heroes in the faith because he preached a good gospel. Many souls were saved. True? Absolutely. 1948. How long ago was that? You can turn the clock backwards, you know, right? And he preached the gospel. And the gospel at that time spoke to him and says, this church is a grave menace to the future of the gospel. Turn the clock forward 30 years. And he says, ah, I got it all wrong. That church actually is the same as my church. I'm the same as that church. And he is a great leader, a great leader, a great evangelist. How wonderful. Now that is only halfway, you know, halfway. The whole way of this route of ecumenism or one world system goes on. The same Billy Graham says, ah, what God's doing today, he's calling people out of the world, the non-believing world. They may not even know the name of Jesus, doesn't matter. They will all be with us in heaven. Every religion is good. Who says so? Billy Graham. When? May the 31st, 1997. Through Southern California Television. So these are the things that are happening that make perilous times when Christians in the church tell you that, if that is true, we close down tomorrow. Yes. In fact, now, go home. Join any church. Follow anything. Join any religion. We'll all be in heaven. Why you need you to come to this church? You don't need to. What is the gospel? There's a new gospel already. 1994. Evangelicals and Catholics together. Now, there is nothing wrong with getting together. But it depends on what purpose. You go to a friend's wedding, you get together, the Roman Catholics, Protestants, Hindus, Muslims, you get together for a purpose. But when you get together for a purpose and say, we have the same gospel, the same faith, we are in the same company, going to achieve the same thing, going to heaven together, and who says so? These names are well-known household names. Colson, the one who is famous for Watergate. Bill Bright, right? G.I. Packer, James White. Campus Crusade is in it. Yes. We should cooperate. Work together. Whether you are evangelical, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholics, all together, we will go to heaven. This is the message today. I say it's like the Israelites. Let's go back to Egypt. So these people say, let's go back before Reformation. It's better. We don't need Reformation. Assembly of God, Southern Baptist, Wheaton College, World Evangelization Fellowship, Regent College. Regent College is active in Singapore. Fuller Seminary, also active. These people were leading evangelicals who have turned back on the Reformation and want to go back and join up together with Rome. Now I say, dear friends, joining up with Rome is good. Is good. If your objective is only in this world, if this world is all that there is to it, if we live and die and all our hopes are in this earth quickly, that is the way. ECT. Join two hands together like this one. This was in Perth. The leader of the Anglican Church and a Buddhist monk together. They're also joining hands. They say, What are they doing? Oh, they say we promote one world unity and one world religion. This is coming because the trend says all religions are good. Now, I say, is it true? Yes and no. All religions are good in the sense that if you practice and amicably agree on terms, there will be better living conditions on planet Earth. Agree? Yeah. But our citizenship is not on Earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall come. Our home is not here. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The cross, where our sins are forgiven, opens us a way to heaven. That is our home. We work that men and women may repent of their sins and flee this perishing earth for heavenly home. So, understand, today the whole objective and sentiment is one world. The word for world, one world, is oikoumene. It's a Greek word. Out of oikoumene comes ecumenical. One world religion is on the way. It's not far away. Now, what must we do? Dear friends, my time has run out. What did the Reformation give us? One thing. Many things, many blessings, but one thing I'm going to leave you. Out of the Reformation came a Bible. What Bible? What Bible? King James Bible. One Bible. The only Bible that is faithful to the Scriptures. The only Bible. All the modern translations, you come tonight. Please, how many of you are not coming tonight? Better come. And you will see, you know, you hear the truth. Only one Bible stands faithful to the God of the Bible. Only one Bible. Every modern English translation, from NIV to RSV to NAB to New King James Bible, all of them have flaws, all of them. Only the King James Bible has perfect faithfulness to the author of the Bible. And out of the Reformation came the Holy Scripture. The slogan for what we get out of the Reformation is, in Latin, sola scriptura, only the Bible, only the Word of God. You cannot trust in church dogmas, traditions, the sayings of priests and whoever. Only thing that you can trust is Scripture. Only Scripture. This is our greatest heritage from the Reformation. And from there we have one Bible, not many Bibles. That is why we continually say, King James Bible only. For in this word, in this book, it is written, thus saith the Lord. Once you know it, believe it, love it, obey it, and you will be safe because it is the Word of God. Now we will close with this, your response. Your response. Hold fast the faithful word. And not just hold fast for yourself. It's important that you don't shift. Those who shift with the shifting winds of unbelief, they will be swept away into the current of ecumenism, into the one world church, one world religion. All right, don't go there. I plead with you. Please, look after yourself. Hold fast the faithful word, the anchor. The only anchor you have. But don't just hold fast. Hold forth. Go with it. Tell others there is one Savior. Only Jesus saves. Don't just say Jesus saves. That's not good enough today. Only Jesus saves. And he will save you to the uttermost. For he alone died. He alone was buried. He alone rose from the dead for you. He alone says, I go and prepare a place for you. He alone says, I'll come for you. Who else? No one else. Only Jesus. Hold for that word of life. Go and tell. What are you doing about it? Do you know this? If not for the Reformation, we would not be here. For it was the Reformation that gave rise to the missions. And we continue in the spirit of the Reformation. Missions. Sending ourselves to places where those have never heard the gospel may hear the gospel. Go, hold forth, send the light. Now may the love of God the Father, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonderful working power of the Holy Spirit Comforter be with everyone who loves the name of Jesus and who looks to his coming again. May this great blessing be with each one of us now and until the Lord returns. Amen.